Blog Talk Radio.
Should be getting close to going live. Not sure how far away we are. Amen. But hopefully we've got the chambers listening to us this morning. I told him to be sure and tune in. And hopefully many others as well. Are we live? All right. Well, it is good to be here this morning, and we want to welcome everybody that's listening by way of the internet. And I want to tell you, if you did not, and I figure probably most of you did not, but if you didn't get a chance to listen to Brother Wally Langford and his message Thursday night, the title of it is Scatterbarrel. I guess he meant he wasn't shooting with an arrow. He was just had a double barrel shotgun. He was shooting every which way. But I want to tell you, it was stout stuff. And if you get a chance to listen to that, I'd highly recommend it. That brother preached his heart out. And I tell you, I'm very thankful that we've got Brother Wally preaching on there on the radio. He's doing a tremendous job. And he just needed a platform. And we've given him that. And now he's able to get on there and just preach himself out for 2 hours solid. He does. I mean, he ain't got no fancy equipment. He's got a phone, a landline. He sets it down. He backs up by 15 or 20 foot, and he just rips and roars. Amen. He rips and roars, and Noah sits on the couch and hollers amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Wally, Brother Wally is like a modern-day John the Baptist. He really is. I mean, Noah's in the other room with the door shut on a computer, and I can hear him hollering amen all the way because I heard him on the deal Thursday night. So, but I tell you what, that's the kind of preaching that America needs right now, is just absolutely scalding hot preaching. I told Brother Wally, I said, it's like getting hit in the face with pepper spray. That's the way his preaching is. It ain't toe stomping, it's pepper spray in the face preaching. And that's why you need it. You really need it. You need a blast to wake you up every now and then, and he is very much doing that. So please support Brother Wally and listen to him if you get a chance, and it'll bless you. It'll help you too. All right. Well, we're going to get back into our message this morning on the object of the Christian life. And the object of the Christian life is God himself. He is the object. He is the reason why we are here this morning. He's the reason why we have this Bible. He's the reason why we live our lives to try to please him. He's the reason for everything. Amen. And so we have looked over the last number of weeks, we've looked at the command in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. So go ahead and find that, and we'll just read that, or we'll quote it. How about that? Y'all want to just quote it? All right, the way you don't have to turn there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Let's say it together three times. You ready? Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. One more time. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning as we come to you, Lord. We need you, and Father, we pray for your presence. The Holy Ghost of God, we pray, would move in this room, and Lord, in the homes of people listening, Lord, in the cars, wherever they may be, Father, this morning, listening to this message, Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of God be stirring in our hearts, in our lives, and Father, make us aware of our responsibility to thee, Lord, and how wonderful it is to serve the great Heavenly Father. And Father, I just pray this morning that you'll give me your Holy Ghost and power, Father, that you'd speak through me. Lord, that you'd use me this morning to be a challenge, Lord, to these dear folks. And Father, those who are hearing on the radio and the internet, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just empower us, Father. Lord, as we come before your throne, Lord, help us to understand you more clearly. Father, I pray that we'll not just think of how Christians ought to live, but Lord, we'll think of how we ought to live and realize this is an individual matter. This is regarding us. So Lord, we pray this morning We pray you'd bless those who are not able to be here with us. Lord, we lift up Brother Ricky, and we lift up the Chambers family. Lord, we lift up any and all who are absent this morning because they're sick. Lord, we lift up Randall, and Father, we pray, Lord, you'd bless him and help him. And Father God, we just pray, Father, for Lord, for you just to work and move in all the gospel preachers around the world that are lifting up Christ this morning. We pray for a working of God in the lives of people today. Lord God, we plead with you now to meet with us and bless us. Pour out your spirit here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, before I get into the message, we've looked at what the command excludes. Okay? It absolutely excludes all other gods. There is to be no idol worship whatsoever in the life of a Christian. I think we've got that down. I think we understand that. Then we talked about what the command includes, and we talked about just the exclusiveness of God's being, just us having a relationship with absolutely the Most High God. I mean, He is awesome. He's a creator of everything, and you and I get to have a relationship with Him. You and I get to have a. I mean, we get to. Somebody posted this morning on Facebook, and one of my friends said, the word relationship's not in the King James Bible. Why are we talking about a relationship? Well, it is a relationship. I have to differ with him on that. It is a relationship, and I praise God for that relationship. I praise God to get to serve the Most High God. Amen. But you know, we talked about what it includes. It includes His mercy. It includes His goodness. It includes His grace. And we talked last Sunday about His sovereign grace. I mean, who in the world am I to deserve all that God has for me? Amen. I don't deserve it. Amen. We talked Wednesday night about some things that's gonna be given to us that we don't even come close to being able to deserve, and God still wants to bless us with those things. And it's just amazing that we get to serve God. Amen. I'm telling you, I know you may be groggy or tired or what this morning, but listen, snap your brain out of your doldrums and out of the, sometimes we get kind of dumbheaded when we sit and listen to somebody. Snap out of anything, the drowsiness or anything, and get what I'm saying. Listen to me. You and I get to serve God. And we ought to be excited about that. We talked about what it includes. We talked about what it excludes. This morning we're going to talk about what does it conclude. What's the conclusion of the matter? Amen? Listen, what am I saying? Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road, all right? What is this command saying to us? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Can I tell you what it doesn't mean? It does not mean that it's okay to have other gods as long as the Lord comes first. That ain't what it means. I think sometimes people read that commandment and they don't fully understand what before me means. Okay? I've been reading it for years without thinking about it, but when I finally sat down and thought about it, I thought, you know what, I bet a lot of people don't really understand what that exactly means. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It doesn't mean that it's okay to have some as long as He comes first. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means not to have any other god but the Lord. Amen? The phrase, no other gods before me, means no other gods in addition to me. Amen? Not in my presence is essentially what it means. Okay? God says that. He's basically saying, I shall have no other gods in my presence. And guess what? He's omnipresent. So you can't get out of His presence. So that means no other gods, period. Amen? Amen. So what exactly does this command conclude? What exactly does the command mean to a born-again believer in 2014? Well, I'm going to give you that, and I'm only going to give you three this morning, and this may be a very short message, and then again, it may not. I don't know. But I'm going to give you four next time. Amen? But let's get into it. Let's not beat around the bush with a whole lot of introduction. Let's just get right down to the meat of it. Number one, here's what it means. Here's what it means. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It means, number one, we are to respond to God fully and completely. Completely responsive to God. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Genesis 15 this morning. And I want us to look at the life of Abram, and I want to use Abram as an example. You say, who's Abram? Abram was Abraham before God called him Abraham. Amen. Just like Saul of Tarsus was Saul of Tarsus, and then God called him Paul. Abram was Abram before he was Abraham. Sarah was Sarai before God called her Sarah. And you say, wonder why he changed all that name. God likes to give somebody a new name. Amen. And he's going to give us one too, praise God. Amen. It means to respond to him fully. Now, first of all, God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and told him he'd go into a place that he didn't know. Amen. He's following God. But listen to in chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, I want you to notice something here. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. So God's give him a vision now. And in this vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So I'm going to protect you and I'm going to bless you. Amen. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. In other words, Lord, you can bless me, but I got nobody to give it to except for the child of my servant. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. That child is not going to inherit it. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Now, he doesn't mean talk to the stars. He means pay attention to the stars. All right? He said, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Y'all ever tried to count the stars? You can't, can you? No, there's trillions of them, what they say. I don't know how many, but I know there's a bunch of them. And God says, okay, look up there and try to count the stars. He said, look here. He said, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, Abram ain't got no kids at this point. He has no children whatsoever. Him and his wife, Sarai, he just has his Eleazar, his servant from Damascus, with his child and his home there. And he's looking around. And he says, you know, all this, God's going to bless me with. What good's it going to be if I don't have anybody to give this and pass this on to? But God's promised him, right? God has made a promise to him that he's going to bless him. Okay? God has also made promises to us that he's going to bless us as his children. If we'll follow him and obey him, do what he says, God promises to bless us if we obey him. And God doesn't ever change, right? So if God said that to us, God said that to Abram, he means the same thing to both of us, amen? So he's told him, even though you ain't got a child yet, he said, I'm going to make sure that you do have a child, amen? And okay, and then verse 6, he says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So that's where it's saying that Abram got saved, amen? He believed in the Lord. He trusted that God, what he said, was true, amen? God made promises to Abram. Abram believed him. Abram believed, it doesn't say it right here, but Abram believed God's message regarding his coming Messiah. And Abram looked upon the coming Messiah just as we look back on Jesus and trust him. Abram looked forward and Abram was saved. Amen. The same way you got saved, by faith. Amen. So Abram has this promise given to him, just as God has promised you things, just as God has promised me things. But now let's look on down in verse 16, chapter 16. Chapter 16. Now remember, we're talking about responding to God fully and completely. All right, so he's made that promise, 16 verses 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. So God made a promise he's going to have seed, and he has not thus far. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. For those of you kids don't understand what that means, she had an old gal work for her named Hagar. All right, that's what it means. And she was her servant. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. She's blaming it on God. God has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, or I'm asking you, Go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. She said, you go ahead and you have a baby with my handmaid, Hagar. And now here's where he messed up. You listen to it, say it next line. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. What did God tell him? God said, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to multiply your seed. What did Sarai say? God hadn't done it. So you need to do this. Okay? What did God... And I'm not picking on women this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. God never intended for a woman to lead. And you see what happened in the garden? God commanded Adam and told him, all these trees in here you can eat, but that one you can't. And what did his wife say? She said, it's good for food. I eat it here. And he listened to the voice of his wife and avoided what God had said. Adam didn't respond to God fully, and Abram has not either, because he's hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Caused drama in his household. Here's Sarah's handmaid's pregnant by Abram, her husband now. She's his wife too. And all of a sudden this handmaid thinks she's got a little pull in the house and she's eyeballing Sarah. Whole dynamic, his house is upset. Why? Because he didn't fully listen to what God said. He decided to listen to what his wife said rather than what God said. And it threw everything off kilter in his life. I'm telling you today, you listen to me, you listen to God. And you do what God says regardless of what anybody else's opinion may be. We live in a day where everybody's got an opinion and most of them run contrary to God. Amen. Now, if you look down in verse 15 and 16 of that same chapter, the Bible said, and Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Stop right there. Do y'all realize all this ISIS and all that junk over there going on in the Middle East is all out of Ishmael? Not only did Abram, because he listened to the voice of his wife Sarai, cause conflict in his own household, he's still causing conflict because of that poor decision of not following God and responding fully to what God had said. The impacts are generational. They are almost eternal. They have gone on down through history, on and on. Hamas and all of the garbage that's going on, all them Sunnis and Shiites and warring factions, all of that come out of that one decision. Amen. Verse 16 says, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he was 84 years old, right? 84, 80, a score in the Bible is 20 years. So 80 is 80 years plus 6. Amen. I say, okay, what I say, 84, he's 86, okay? So he's 86 years old, amen, when Hagar bears Ishmael to Abram. Now, look in Genesis 17:1, the very next verse in the next chapter. The Bible says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, so 13 years later, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now what is God saying that for? 13 years after he has Ishmael. He's saying, for the last 13 years, Abram, you have ignored my plan and you have followed Sarah's plan for the last 13 years. You have made her and her wants and her feelings more important than my will. And it's time for you to grow up, boy. It's time for you to give yourself to me completely. If you're going to be the father of this nation, it's time for you to step up and obey me and quit doing it your way and quit trying things your way, because your way ain't never going to work. Amen. He's saying, I'm God. You're not. Amen. You're not God, Abram. Amen. Your wife ain't God either, Abram. Listen to me. Her opinion does not matter more than what I said. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He didn't mean you got to be perfect, never, ever do anything wrong, because God knows we're in these old temples, these old bodies of flesh that are going to fail. But what he's saying is, you make my will number one in your life. You do what I say rather than what anybody else says. Amen? God comes first, folks. He comes before mom and dad. Amen? God's right. If mom and dad's wrong, God's right. You obey God. Amen. Listen, don't you ignore what mom and dad says, amen, if it lines up with God. But if mom and dad are wrong and God's right, then you obey God. Amen. Listen, husband and wife, listen to me. Husband and wife do not come first. If the husband is wrong, you obey God. Somebody said, wait a minute, that's out of God's order. No, it's not. I'll give you an example. If the husband says to his wife, honey, let's go drinking and dancing tonight. And she says, baby, I don't do that. That's God doesn't want me doing it. And he says, no, I'm telling you, let's go now. She ain't got to obey him in that regard, because he's asking her to do something that violates Scripture. Amen? God is right. Amen? God is right. He comes first. Amen? Listen, there's no reason why anybody should ignore what God said over somebody else. It doesn't make any difference. The president don't overrule God. Congress don't overrule God. The Supreme Court does not overrule God. The policeman does not overrule God. Your boss does not overrule God. God is God. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you take somebody else's opinion over God's, then you've made them your God. If you follow them rather than God, you have put them in God's place. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's truth. That may not be pleasant, because a lot of times I think we falter in that area. We cow down to things because we're concerned about what people think or how people feel, and we forget that God's more important than those people are. Amen. Matthew 10:34-38, the Bible says, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. By the way, that night when the angels sung, amen, the shepherds was watching their flocks, amen, and the angels said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. They weren't talking about that night in particular. They were talking about his second coming. Jesus has not come to send peace on earth now, not until he comes again to rule and reign. Amen. And that's one thing that's messed up with Christmas time, because they're all, peace on earth, let's all be peaceful. No, that's not what that means. Amen. He said, don't think I come to send peace. I came to send a sword, amen. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Why is that? Because those of in your own household will work on you to get you to do things their way, because, hey, they're close to you. And because they're close to you, and because you love them, and because they love you, they forget sometimes that they're not the most important person in the world. God is. And when you oppose them in favor of God, sometimes it makes people angry at you. And they say, oh, you're just one of them Bible thumpers. You let that stuff go to your head. Like they told Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. You're taking it too far. Amen? When you stand for truth and right, people get upset with you. Even people in your own family. Amen? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, Christ said. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Christ is to be number one. God is first place. He has no place of second place. He's never to be in second place in my life or your life. He is number one, and we are to be fully responsive to him, ready to go. Amen. One preacher likened it to hound dogs right before they get turned loose on a hunt. Just sitting there straining at the collar, ready, foaming at the mouth. That's the way we're to be as believers, to serve God and please Him and do His will. We ought to be ready and just waiting like a thoroughbred in that little stall on the racetrack, ready to go just as soon as that door opens. Amen. That's the way you and I ought to be to serve God. Have a readiness about us to please Him and serve Him. Luke 14:26-27 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, what is all that saying? It's simply saying this: none of those people are more important than God is. And every one of those people have a place, but it's behind God. And God doesn't mean for us to hate them. God simply means our love for Him ought to make our love for them look like hate in comparison. Listen to me, He ought to be so far ahead of them that they don't even compare. That's what that means. And you notice that last part He said, and His own life also, He comes before you and your will, your selfish will. Amen? Acts 20:24, Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, you know what? Nothing is going to move me. In other words, I have found where I'm at. I'm serving God. I'm right here. I've planted my feet. I've drawn my line in the sand. I've made up my mind. I'm resolved. And ain't nothing going to change that. None of these things move me. If I die doing it, that's okay too. That's what He said. Don't you remember that? I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart, amen, or to be there with them, amen. He said, hey, either way, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So my life don't even matter. It's about Christ. Respond to Him fully. Number two. Hey, this is moving right along, amen. Number two. It means, number one, it means to respond to Him fully and completely. But number two, it means to serve Him faithfully. That's what it means. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It means that we are to not be wishy-washy in our service to God. We're not to be wishy-washy in our following God. We're to serve Him faithfully, no matter what. No matter what. Genesis 7, verse 1, talking about old Noah. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah served God faithfully. You talk about faith, man, you think about it in that generation that he lived in, where he is the only, you think about it. It's just hard for me to conceive of that Noah was the only righteous. I know his children, his sons were, but he's the parent. He's the leader of that family. He's the only man in the world left besides his sons who love God at all. Can you imagine that? You think it's hard for us right now because a lot of people are wishy-washy? I mean, it is. There's a lot of people today that are just absolutely kind of like wet Nilla wafers or something. I mean, they ain't no substance to them, you know. They're coming apart. They're not really strong in anything. There are a lot of worldly believers, a lot of worldly Christians, a lot of fake Christianity. But it's not like it was for Noah. There was nobody. He didn't have friends that he could go to and talk about Jesus with, or talk about God with. I know he didn't know the name Jesus, but he didn't have people that he could go to and fellowship with other than his family. That was it. And not only that, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching and he didn't get one convert the whole time. His whole ministry was a flop. Think about it. Not one single, thank God there wasn't another preacher alive that time. Because he'd have been running him down because he didn't have anybody. Amen? That's the way preachers are, I'm telling you. He'd have been tearing him. You ain't doing something right, son, because ain't nobody coming to listen to you. You change your methods. No, he preached even though nobody cared. He was faithful. Amen? He taught his family even though the entire world was against him. He stood for God's truth in the midst of an entire world that was against everything he stood for. That was a man. That was a man. In the face of all that, and you know, there had to have been threats on him. There was mocking constantly. And not only that, he's building a gigantic boat in the middle of dry ground. And everybody was laughing. You know, they laughed at him. You know that he was a crazy lunatic down the road that's building that gigantic boat. Ain't nothing going to happen. You remember the Bible says they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking. They were going on about their life. And nothing's ever going to happen. This is his world. This is our world. We're going to enjoy it and live until we die. And all of a sudden, hey, God says, no, it's time. Get in the boat. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And you know when they went in and all those animals got in there. And Noah, again, I'll talk about that a lot later. But he was looking out at the world. And I guarantee you, the day that he went into that ark, nobody was out. The world wasn't out there at his door. They weren't there. You don't get this idea in your mind that the world's standing there going, no, you're crazy going into that ark. I guarantee you, there probably wasn't no traffic on the road. I'm sure when Noah went in that ark, I'm sure everything looked normal as could be when he walked up that ramp the last time. You had to trust God. You had to have faith to go in. I mean, he built it, but now it's built. Now it's D-Day. It's the time. I mean, I guess F-Day for flood. I don't know, but it was the time. It was fixing to happen. That took faith. That took uncommon faith. Matter of fact, it took so much faith, God bragged on him. In Hebrews 11, in the Hall of Fame of Faith, God bragged on Noah in verse 7, and he said, by faith, Noah, by faith, being warned of God, he heeded the warning. Amen? He served God faithfully. The warning, hey, it wouldn't have made sense to nobody else but somebody who was following God because, listen, they'd never seen rain before. The world, he's the only one in the entire world who has this mindset. You think about that. The only person in the whole world, except for his family, who has the mindset of, listen, we've got to get in this boat because the world's fixing to flood. And the whole world's saying, no, it's not. You're stupid. You're crazy. You're wasting your life. Get something else to do. Do something else with your life. Noah said, no, it's going to rain. No, it's not, Noah. It's never rained before. You're crazy. You and your God talk. Well, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, not seen as yet. Move with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. The world hated him for it. Listen to me, folks. You and I have an ark. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. We are closed up in him, and this world is going to hell. Amen. This world thinks we're crazy for being in Jesus. They think we're leaning on a religious crutch. They think we're worshiping some imaginary man in the sky. And they think we're wasting our years. We're wasting up all our time not enjoying the pleasures of sin. And someday we'll be on our deathbed and wish we'd lived it up. That's what they think. That we're fools to do what we do and believe what we believe. He condemned the world. He said, you're going to hell. That's what he said. He condemned them. Y'all going to burn in hell. And he became an heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now listen to me. Faith, faithfulness. Serving the Lord faithfully. Faithfulness. What does it mean? I want to give you two things that it means. First of all, faithfulness means being full of faith to believe all that God says. Now, there's lots of people who say, if it's in that word, I believe it. Absolutely, I believe it. If God said it, I believe it. Now, you can say that all day long. That's part of faithfulness. But see, there's another part of faithfulness that's very important, and that's being full of faith to carry it out, what God has said. You can say, I believe God. Sure, I believe God. Okay, are you willing to carry out what he said in detail? Are you willing to carry out what he said in detail, even if it's going to cost you something? Are you willing to carry it out in detail if it's going to cost you something, even if it's dire circumstances it causes you? See, that's faithfulness. A lot of people, hey, listen, a lot of people will be the good Samaritan as long as they don't have to pay the money and the wine, the oil and the, you know, they don't have to invest. Amen? It's easy to give God lip service. It's another thing to put your money where your mouth is. Amen? Faithfulness. Hey, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then God, I'm willing to go with you all the way. I'm willing to do whatever you say. I'm willing to do it exactly the way you want it, not the way I want it, not the way anybody else wants it, but the way you want it, regardless of what anybody thinks, what anybody says, or what anybody does, or what it costs me or anybody in my family. I'm not worried about what the world's going to think. I'm only concerned, Father, about pleasing you, and that's all that matters. That's faithfulness. That's what put those men and those women in that chapter of Hebrews. They were willing to do whatever God said, no matter how crazy it sounded. Don't you know when God gave Abraham Isaac, and when he went up, don't you know that trip up the mountain and the whole scene up there at the altar? Don't you know that was just absolutely madness in his mind? But yet God said, do it, and that's why he did it. And God saw him through, and God saw Noah through. And don't you know, when God put it in those Hebrew children's hearts not to bow down and worship that statue, knowing that it meant that fiery furnace, don't you know that when Daniel bowed down and prayed with his windows open, don't you know that he was being faithful, even though he knew it was going to cost him? That is having no other gods before me. Because you say, well, I don't know if I could have done that because I might get it burned up or something, you know. That's not faith. That's not faithfulness. Well, I'd prayed, but I'd have prayed in private. That's not faithfulness. Amen? That's not faithfulness. Well, I'd have built the ark, but I wouldn't have told nobody I was doing it. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness says, you know what, I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to do it just like he says it, and I'm going to do it, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. All I care about is pleasing God. That's faithfulness. Responding to him and giving him all of you. Listen, serving him and giving him everything that you are and not holding anything back from him. That's faithfulness. That's serving him completely. And number three, what does it mean? What does it conclude? To respond to him fully, to serve him faithfully. Number three, to love him supremely. We're to love the Lord supremely, above all else. Psalm 73, verse 25, David said, whom have I in heaven beside thee? Or whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. We get the song lyric from that verse. Well, in the verse where it says, whom have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee? That's where we get that lyric from, is that verse of scripture right there. But listen to what he says. Whom have I in heaven but thee? You are my all. You're all. My all. My one and only. My all in all. That's what David's saying. Lord, you are my heart. You're what my heart beats for. Listen, it's a wholehearted kind of love. It's not I love you when the sun shines and everything's good. No, Lord, I love you in the middle of the darkness. I love you in the hardest times. I love you when I can't see. I love you when I don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow. I love you then as much or more. I want to point out three traits of wholehearted love. three things. Number one, a real love like what we're talking about, a supreme love. It's pure in its affection. It's pure. So what do you mean by that? Well, it loves for love's sake. It doesn't love selfishly. It loves for love's sake. You don't love for what you can get out of it. Amen? It's pure. It's not tainted by anything. It's not, I love you unless. It's, I love you. Even though. I love you wholeheartedly, and that won't change. See, there's a lot. There's people who, boy, they love God until something happens. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've talked to people about the Lord. I've talked to them about church. And the very first thing I sense out of them is a bitterness because something happened and they blamed God for it. Well, such and such happened. I don't know why God would let that happen. If God loved me, he wouldn't let that happen. I don't know why God would do this. And they just go on about how God has done them some disservice. How God has, they, you know, they're not going to come to church because God let such and such happen. Listen to me. You don't love God conditionally. It's 100% unconditional love. Amen? It's pure. I love him because he first loved me. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When we love God, we're simply giving back what he's gave to us. We wouldn't know how to love if we didn't love God. Amen? Listen to me. People that are lost, they think they know how to love, but they don't even really understand love. Because you can't know love until you've known God. It's pure. There's nothing wrong about our love for God. Amen. Number two, true love, it's sacrificial. It's sacrificial in its giving. I said just a moment ago that it's a pure love that loves regardless of what comes back. We're loving for love's sake. It's a sacrificial giving. It's a sacrificial love. Listen, it's more concerned about others than itself. Amen? Real love says, I'll love you if you never love me. Amen? There are people who love somebody who will never love them back. That's true love. Amen? It's wonderful when you can love somebody and they love you back like you love them. That's wonderful. But listen to me, that shouldn't stop true love just because you don't get it back. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If you love God, listen, you're going to get it back. There's no denying that. He is love. He's going to pour it out to you. Amen. Listen, you're never going to go without his love. You love him, he's going to love you back. Amen. But listen to me. Loving God can be sacrificial love because, listen, there's going to be times when God, as we talked about here the other day, where we don't understand sometimes why everything's going good, everything's going fine, everything's good, doing real good, and all of a sudden, boom, the bottom drops out. Can I just explain that one more time? You've gotten comfortable. You've taken it easy. You're coasting. God says you're not growing anymore, so I'm going to click, slap some more weight on the bar and make you go, oh, Lord, help me. He does that in love. He don't want you to get lazy. He don't want you to back off. He don't want you to get sluggardly in your love for him. He wants you to need him. He wants you to depend on him and cry out to him and trust him and receive his help and receive his blessing. That's why those troubles come. That's why that stuff overwhelms you and breaks you into a million pieces, because God wants to put those million pieces back together and love you and show you how much he loves you. That's why it happens. Listen to me. It takes sacrifice to be able to understand and accept that. You have to have that kind of sacrificial love about you to say, you know what, I know God's not hurting me. I understand he loves me, and I'm going to love him no matter what happens in my life. And not only that, I'm going to love others because I love him. Amen. Listen, sacrificial love, I said, is more concerned about others than itself. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's real love. He said, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You can take all the Old Testament and hang it on the hook of thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what it is. That's what all that's there for. To show you, you're to love God with everything in you. And you're to love people around you with everything in you. Listen to me. You cannot love God with all your heart, with everything in you, and not care about other people going to hell. You can't. If you're going to love God with everything in you, you're going to have to love people around you that are dying going to hell with everything in you. That is love. It's real. It's genuine. You can't fake it. A lot of people try. There's lots of church people that fake it. They can put on a good face and come to church on Sunday and sit there and be nice and schmooze with everybody. But then as soon as they walk out the door, they're not more interested in anybody around them than they are the man in the moon. There's a lot of that everywhere, folks. But listen to me, when you really love God, you cannot stand by and just watch people just blatantly just run headlong for hell. You cannot stand it. And that makes us want to tell them. It makes us want to be what God told us to be. Amen. What your ambassadors, what your messengers, what your priests. Amen. We're His mouthpiece. And number three on this, true love, it's passionate in its feeling. It's not. I hate to use big words. It's not ambivalent. You can't be ambivalent about that kind of love. And when I say ambivalent, mealy mouth, wishy-washy. One way one day, one way the next. Listen to me. If it's real, it's always passionate. Amen? I may not be raving and ranting constantly, but I can tell you, it don't take much to get me started. Amen? Hey, I can get pretty passionate pretty quick over something I believe. Amen. I don't have to talk about it constantly, but somebody gets me stirred up, it's right there under the surface and it's ready to go all the time. Amen. It may not be boiling, but it's simmering on the back burner. Amen. It's always there. It's passion, true love, the kind that God says we are to have. True love is passionate in its feeling. It constantly expresses itself in warmth. I'll give you an example of that. Turn to Hebrews 21. Hebrews 21. You and I, listen to me, you and I are the servants of the Most High God. Right? Amen? We're the servants of the Most High God. Okay? I want to show you this about a servant. In Exodus chapter 21. 1-6. Have you found it? Exodus. Did I say Hebrews? I'm sorry. Exodus. Got y'all running all over the Bible. Exodus chapter 21, verse 1-6. We're to love the Lord supremely. Now I want to show you this. Exodus 21, 1-6. The Bible says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve. Now, you're talking about a slave, okay? That's what we're talking about. He's bought a servant. He's bought a slave, okay? He said, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. In other words, 6 years he'll serve. On the seventh year, glad to have you working for me. I'll see you later. You're free to go. All right? But the Bible says if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. It said, if his master hath given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, because he gave that woman to him, and he shall go out by himself. If the servant shall plainly say, listen to this, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now what is he saying? I can go free. But instead of going free, I love my master. I love the one I serve. I have free will to go and do as I please. But I love my master. And because I love my master, I want to be his forever and serve him in love. And so that master takes him over to the doorpost, and he takes an awl, which is like an ice pick, and he pokes a hole through that ear. And they put an earring in that ear. And that earring means that I'm his slave forever. Now listen to me. I'm not saying as Christians we need to all go get earrings. That's not what I'm saying at all. Don't get any ideas, son. You're not getting our earring. But the point is this. He had an opportunity to go free. But it wasn't because of fear. It wasn't because of any other emotion other than love. And he said, you know what? My master's been good to me. My master's given me, has provided me with a family. And I have it good here. And I don't want to go be free and be on my own. I want to be here where I'm loved and I'm cared for. And I'm passionate enough about it that I'm willing to give up all my liberty. I'm willing to give up all my freedom. And I'm willing to be his. Let me tell you something. That's what God wants us to do for him. Listen. God wants us. Listen, we have free will. God has not made us robots, automatons, to just do whatever he says, however he wants us to. No, God's given us ability to choose to do it because we love him. God, hey, you know what? You can turn around and walk out of here today and never come back. But you choose to be here. Why? Because you love him. Amen? That's what he wants. He wants us. Listen, now I'm not saying just because you come to church, you're proving your love to him. Listen, you prove your love to him 7 days a week. It's not just on Sunday. But you understand, God wants that kind of a servant. One who says, Lord, you know what? You've been all I ever needed. And I don't need to go anywhere else for anything else. I love you more than anything. And because of that, I want to totally give myself to you and fully respond to you and whatever you say. And I want to do it however you say. Lord, I want to serve you no matter what it costs me, because Lord, I know you're going to make it up. You're going to take care of me no matter what. And Lord, I love you so much that I don't need the thrill of this world. I don't need the lusts of this world. I don't need to go out into this world and find something to satisfy me, Lord, because you've given me love, and you've loved me like no other one has. You've loved me above all, and because of that, I want to be yours, and I will voluntarily sacrifice that liberty I would have had out there for the peace and the security and the love that I have in you. That's what God wants us to have. Listen to me. Real, genuine love, it goes the extra mile. Amen? 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul expressed it in this. He said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'll be loved. Paul said, I don't care if you don't love me. I'm still going to love you. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to pay the cost because I love you. If it costs me everything, he said, I'm glad I will spend and be spent. If it costs me my life serving, that's fine. I'll give it all I have because I love you. Let me tell you something. That's the way God wants us to serve. God wants us to say, Lord, I'm all I am and all I have is in your hand. And Lord, I don't need anybody but you. You are more important than anybody. And Lord, you provide me with every blessing that I have. You provide me with the ones around me to love me. You provide me with all the material things that I have that I need. God, you give me blessings, spiritual blessings above my understanding. And because of that, I want to serve you faithfully. I want to serve you responsibly, and I want to serve you passionately. I want to love you with everything I am. Let me ask you these questions. We're going to go to the house. Number one, are you truly, fully responsive to God? Do you look to Him for guidance? Do you really? I'm not just saying, do you just agree with me? Do you really look to God for guidance, or are you depending on the opinions and the advice of others? Do you go to the Word of God when you don't know what to do, or do you ask friends? Do you seek their opinion, or do you look to God's Word? That's really what I'm asking you this morning. Listen, you think about it. Don't just hear these words and they rattle around and go out the other ear. Do you really depend on what He said to gauge how your life goes? Are you His? Lock, stock, and barrel, no matter what. I mean, have you sold out to Jesus Christ? Have you made up your mind you're not going back? Number two, are you truly serving God faithfully? Are you ready to give the Lord your all, believing His word above all else? Are you willing to do exactly what He asks, no matter what it costs you? And thirdly, do you love Him supremely? Are you willing to lay aside the things the world thinks are fine, yet are contrary to His word? You know, yesterday, just out of curiosity, I was sitting and reading some stuff, and I was looking on Facebook a minute, and I see every now and then, I see people, they go on and on and on. I've never seen this movie. I have no idea that this Disney movie, Frozen. I have never seen it. I have never heard the song Let It Go in my life, but I hear people talking about it constantly. Read the cotton picking words. Read the words. You got your phone on you? Look up the lyrics. I know you can find them quick. I began to read those lyrics to that song that everybody thinks is so wonderful. And you get down to part of it and you see, you can see what's lurking behind the surface. There's a line in it, I can't remember exactly how it goes. It says, the part about there's no right or wrong. You found it? Yeah, that part right there. What does it say? It's time to see what I can do. To test the limits and break through. Keep going. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. That sounds like somebody don't want God in their life. No right, no wrong. I'm free. And yet, and listen to me, Christian people promote that. Yeah, it's you see what's lurking behind the surface? Who is that? That's Aleister Crowley. That's Aleister Crowley's message. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do what you want to. Ignore God. You don't have to worry about His right and wrong. Govern it by what you want to do. Your heart, what your feelings are, your thoughts. That's your God. You are your own God. Now, wait a minute. See, that bothers people. You're messing with my entertainment there. No, I'm sorry, but that's hell. That's hell spewing out right there. Really? I mean, you think about it. People all around the country today who are Christians say, that's okay. Well, that's a great song. Kids love it. Sorry. It's wrong. It's demonic. Dressed up in a pretty package. Evil comes dressed in pretty packages. I said the other day, I seen a picture of a Ouija board that's pink and got stars and all kinds of garbage on it. Listen to me. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. I mean, we got to understand. If we love the Lord supremely, we're going to hate the things of the devil. We're going to hate the things of this world. Ask yourself this question. What would it take to get you to back off as a Christian? What would it take to stop you? Would a little persecution do it? A little trouble? Because if I can promise you this morning, folks, if that's what it'll take, then the devil will oblige. Listen, there's going to come a time. If you've got a breaking point out there to where you say, you know, as long as everything's okay, as long as nothing gets this bad, I'll keep serving God and keep going to church and keep loving Him and keep talking about Him. But if it ever gets to this point, I don't know if I can go any further. Listen, you might as well give up now because you don't love Him supremely. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt nobody or make nobody mad this morning. I just need to preach. Amen. What would it get you to back off? Are you timid or shy about letting certain people in your life know that you're a Christian? By the way, did y'all know, and I don't care anything about him, and I don't care anything about the National Football League and all that garbage, but did you know last week Robert Griffin III, the guy that played down at Baylor, he was a superstar, went to the Washington Redskins, he dislocated his ankle last week, and he had a press conference, and he had on a shirt, a blue shirt, that said, no Jesus, no peace, and, you know, it's K-N-O-W, but in the middle, N-O was in a different color, so it said, you know, like the sign, K-N-O-Jesus, no peace, no peace, no Jesus, no peace. But anyway, he was going to go to the mic and the podium, and the NFL stopped him and told him they were going to fine him $50,000 if he wore that to the podium. Why? Because they hate God. And you know what he done? He turned the wrong side out because $50,000 is worth more to him than God. I can guarantee you one thing. I'd either wore it to the platform or I wouldn't have been playing in the National Football League. Amen. He's a Catholic anyway. Are you sharing the love of Christ or are you hoarding it all for yourself? Amen. If you love God supremely, you got no problem sharing His love with everybody. And one last thing, do you realize that there's no such thing as a secret believer? Amen. If it's real, it's got to come out. It's got to come out. Acts 4:20 said, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter, James, and John were before the religious council who had the power to throw them in prison. They had the power to have them executed. Well, they didn't have the power to have them executed. They had the power to send them to be executed. But listen to me. They stood before them and they threatened them. And they said, hey, we ought to obey God rather than men. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It's in us. It's a roaring fire. And we can't contain it. And it's got to come out. Listen to me. What God gave me is real. What God gave me burns in my soul. And what God gave me, I can't keep a lid on. It keeps rattling and wants to come out. Amen. I want to give myself to Him wholeheartedly. I want to love Him and be faithful to Him. And I want to love Him supremely. The Bible says in Psalm 107:2, and I close with this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If God has saved you from a life of destruction and He saved your soul from your sins and He saved you from hell, you ought to say so. If you love Him, love Him. Don't hold it back anymore. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's stand together. Father, bless the invitation, Lord. I pray, Father, that You work in our lives, and Lord, that You draw us a closer relationship with You. And Lord God, that You put a passion down inside of us that won't be quenched. Father, You give us faithfulness that won't be dimmed, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, that we be responsive to You and be ready to answer You any time that You call upon us to do anything for You. Father God, I pray that You'll show us this morning, Lord, that You'll show us in our hearts and our souls just where we are in our walk with You. And Lord, if it's not where it ought to be, I pray we'd be convicted, Lord, and bring us to the point of humility before Thee and cry out to Thee for a closer walk. Father God, I pray, Lord, for each and every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, that we be burdened about our relationship with God. Lord, that we be concerned that we're not pleasing in Your sight. Oh, Lord, that we be careful to please You, that we be careful to give our all to You. Oh, Lord God, we need You so much. Lord, please, Father, I pray You'd work on us now. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Humbly ask.